إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، فإني أرحبكم بكم جميعا ونواصل درسنا في الأربعين النووية من المنحة الربانية في شرح الأربعين النووية. I welcome all of you once again. We continue reading from the explanation of the 40 hadith of Imam al-Nawawi by our noble Sheikh Al-Allama Al-Doktor Salih Al-Fawzan حفظه الله تعالى وغفر له ولوالديه وللمسلمين والمسلمات وللمتكلم والسامعين والسامعات. الحديث 31. Tonight we're going to learn inshallah ta'ala and we'll read the explanation of the hadith number 31. فعن أبي العباس سهل بن سعد الساعدي رضي الله عنه قال أتى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم رجل فقال يا رسول الله دلني على عمل إذا عملته أحبني الله وأحبني الناس، فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ازهد في الدنيا يحبك الله وازهد فيما أيدي الناس يحبك الناس. حديث حسن رواه ابن ماجه وغيره بأسانيد حسنة، وكذلك رواه الطبراني في الكبير وأبو نعيم في الحلية والبيهقي في شعب الإيمان رحمهم الله تعالى. On the authority of Abu al-Abbas, سهل بن سعد الساعدي رضي الله عنه said, a man came to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and said, O Messenger of Allah, direct me to an act which, if I do it, will cause Allah to love me and people to love me. O Messenger of Allah, direct me to an act, if I do it, will cause Allah to love me and the people to love me. Allah loves this person and also the people. The Prophet said to him, renounce the world, meaning give up the dunya, as the Shaykh is going to explain what does it mean. Don't make your main interest is the dunya, is this life. Allah will love you. And do not ask what the people have, and the people, they will love you. قال الشيخ الوالد العلامة بقية السلف صالح الفوزان حفظه الله تعالى ورزقه الصحة والعافية وأدام عمره على الطاعة ونفعنا بعلمه وجهوده، قال هذا حديث عظيم. ذكر العلماء أنه من قواعد الإسلام التي يسير عليها المسلم. Our noble Sheikh, Sheikh Salih Al-Fawzan, حفظه الله, he said this is a great hadith, this is a great narration. The scholars, they mentioned it's one of the foundations of Islam that a Muslim should be upon. قال فهذا الرجل جاء يسأل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عن عمل إذا عمله أحبه الله وأحبه الناس. قال فهذا عمل جليل. He said this man, he came in the time of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. As we have many narrations when people used to come and ask the Prophet ﷺ questions. So this man came and asked the Prophet ﷺ about an action. If he does it and act upon it, Allah loves him and the people love him as well. He will earn Allah's love and the people's love. The Sheikh said this is a noble act indeed. An act that make Allah love you. If he does it, Allah loves you. And if you do it, the people love you as well. قال الشيخ صالح حفظه الله: إذا أحبك الله وأحبك الناس هذه سعادة وخير كثير ألا يبغضك أحد. He says, if Allah loves you and the people love you, subhanAllah, this is happiness. It's a lot of good for you. You're not hated, but rather you're loved by Allah. Allah loves you and the people love you. He says, هذا خير كثير. This is a lot of good for such a person. فما هو العمل الذي تنال به رضا الله ورضا الناس. So therefore, the Sheikh says, what is this action that if a person does it and act upon it, earn the pleasure of Allah and the pleasure and the people will be pleased with him. Allah will be pleased with such a person, and also he makes the people be pleased with such a person as well. قال وفي هذا دليل على أن رضا الناس مطلوب ما لم يكن في ذلك إثم ولا معصية. He says, this hadith is a proof that a person should do things that make others pleased with him, as long as he doesn't disobey Allah to make the people pleased with him. He does not sin and compromise his religion to earn the pleasure of the people. قال الشيخ حفظه الله قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ازهد في الدنيا يحبك الله وازهد فيما في أيدي الناس يحبك الناس. Leave the dunya, and the Shaykh is going to explain what does it mean. Leave the dunya, Allah loves you. And give up and renounce what's in the hands of the people will love you. قال الزهد هو الترك يعني ترك الدنيا وليس المراد أن تترك ما تحتاج إليه وما تستغني به من طلب الرزق والكسب الحلال. هذا منهي عنه أن لا يتكسب الإنسان ولا يطلب الرزق الحلال, هذا منهي عنه. قال لكن اترك ما لا حاجة لك به. The Shaykh says الزهد is to leave things, to stay away from certain things. That's zuhd. Meaning, leave the dunya. He said, and this doesn't mean that the person leave even the thing that he needs, such as earning a living for himself or for his family, from earning the halal. This not doesn't mean that the person, he hears this hadith and things like, oh, leave the dunya, now he quit his job and camp in a masjid or something like that. No, this is not the case. Leave the dunya, he says, as the Shaykh is going to explain furthermore. First of all, he says, it does not mean that the person don't go to work and don't earn a living. No. And take care of his family. That's not what does it mean. Alpha, لكن أترك ما لا حاجة لك به. Says, but what it means is that if you make a living that pay for your needs, then leave the things that you don't need. Don't go for more that you don't need. قال فليس الزهد ترك المباحات التي تحتاجها أنت وأولادك وإنما الزهد ترك الفضول التي لا تحتاج إليها من الدنيا. He said, so once again, when zuhd is had في الدنيا, which literally means leave the dunya, forsake the dunya, he said, it does not mean that you stay away from things that Allah has made permissible for you, necessities for you and for your children and your family. Rather, what he means is that once you get what you need, then give up the things that you don't need. Don't run after the things that you don't need. He says, فالمسلم يجمل في طلبه لا يحرص حرصا شديدا على الدنيا وعنده ما يغنيه. He says, a Muslim, his main concern is to fulfill his obligations, the reason why he's created for, to worship Allah. And he does not make the dunya his purpose, give more money, competing with the people. But rather, if he has from the dunya his needs that he need enough for him and his family, that's what he wants. خلف هذه قاعدة ازهد في الدنيا يحبك الله. The Sheikh says this is a qaida, this is a principle. If you act upon the statement of the noble Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, izhad fi dunya, meaning take from the dunya what you need in your journey, but don't make it your purpose and your goal. Certain people, they make this dunya their purpose and they take them away from Allah. They want the dunya so bad and they compete in one another who's going to get more houses and more cars and more business and more money. And then you take them away from fulfilling their obligations such as worshipping Allah. They struggle. They're not even seen in the masjid. Their families don't see them. He's married with children. They don't even see him. And even when he comes home, he's busy with his business. Especially in our times. Phone calls, text messages, emails, this, facts. Constantly. Even when he's with his family, still, he's not with them, for real. So the Sheikh, he says, the believer and the Muslim, he takes from the dunya what he needs. Moderation. Not like certain people, they make the dunya their purpose and take them away from their obligations. And not those who, they think, oh, listen, man, the only way they can be a good Muslim is to not to work, period. Spend all time reading Quran, and then they neglect themselves and they become a burden on others. As we learned in previous hadith, they become burden on others. He has a family, he has children, but he don't want to go to work. Why? He says, look, man, work, keep him away from ibadah, from worshipping Allah. No. A person take from the dunya to fulfill their needs. They need a rent to pay, gotta get a job to fulfill that. There is bills. We live in this area and they have so many bills. And there's children, they need clothing, they need to eat, they need education. Then you do that. Yes, if you have enough to do that, alhamdulillah, the rest of time, ibadah. Do it in that which you were created for. He said, if a person does this, Allah loves him. Allahu Akbar. Allah loves a person. قال إذا زهدت في الدنيا أحبك الله فهذا فيه مدح الزهد فيما لا يحتاج إليه الإنسان. He says, in this also is a praise for this zuhd. Not the zuhd of certain people who they give up everything. They think zuhd is that don't drink cold water in the hot days. They think zuhd don't eat meat. They think zuhd don't sleep on a mattress, sleep on the floor. That's what the certain people, they think that's zuhd. And they put a hardship on themselves and yet on their families. The zuhd, he says, is that you do not concern yourself with things that you don't need. Things you don't need, leave them alone. Ayna. قال وفيه دليل على أن الله يحب عباده المؤمنين. So likewise, this hadith is a proof that Allah loves His servants, that the believers, His believing servants, Allah loves them. ففيه وصف الله بالمحبة كما أنه يبغض ويكره. Says this hadith entails one of the qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He loves, and also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hates and dislikes things. ومحبة الله تعالى ليست مثل محبة المخلوق وبغضه وكراهيته ليست كبغض وكراهية المخلوق بل هذا خاص به سبحانه وتعالى كسائر صفاته. He says, but now Allah loves and we affirm these attributes of المحبة, but unlike the love of the people, it's not, doesn't resemble the love that the people have for one another. The likewise, the hatred and the dislike things, because this is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Shaykh, he says, the same rules that apply on the rest of the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala apply on these ones. And we learn, alhamdulillah, especially in the classes of Aqeedah, and especially the one that we are studying on Tuesdays, alhamdulillah, Sharh Aqeedah al-Salaf, للإمام أصحاب الأثر الإمام الصابوني وفوق نور الشيخ العلامة الدكتور ربيع بن هادي المدخلي حفظه الله تعالى ومتعه بالصحة والعافية. And he mentioned the rules and the qa'idah of أهل السنة والجماعة as related to the attributes of Allah, that we affirm for Allah what he has affirmed for himself in his book or on the tongue of his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we keep in mind while affirming that which Allah has affirmed for himself, we keep in mind the great ayah in Surah Ash-Shura, ayah 11, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. There is nothing like unto him, and this is a refutation against al-mushabbiha. This is a refutation against those who they resemble and likened the attributes of Allah to those of his creation. وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ, and he is السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. This is a refutation against al-mu'attila, like al-jahmiya, al-mu'tazila and others, who they deny the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Ahlul Sunnah al-Jama'ah, they affirm all the attributes that Allah has affirmed for himself in his book or his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his sunnah without likening or resembling those attributes to any of the creation and without denying them and without distorting their meanings. And of course, bila takif, and without asking about the true nature of those attributes. This is the aqidah of Ahlul Sunnah wal-Jama'ah. قال الشيخ حفظه الله وفيه أمور وفيه أن أمور الدين يسأل عنها أهل العلم. Likewise, another great benefit from this hadith, he says, when it comes to the matters of the religion, all of the affairs of the religion, you should ask the people of knowledge. Don't ask anyone when it comes to your religion. You ask the people of knowledge, those who have knowledge of the religion. قال لأن هذا الرجل سأل عنها النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ولم يبتكر شيئا من عنده. He said, this man in this hadith, he asked the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. This man didn't come up with things from his mind, but he asked the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. قال لأن من أحدث شيئا في الدين من عنده صار مبتدعا. He said, because keep in mind, anyone who invented and introduced anything to this deen from himself, he became an innovator. That person becomes an innovator, a mubtadi'. قال وكونك تتقرب إلى الله بشيء لم يأتي به الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم تظن أنه حسن هذا بدعة وقبيح ومردود. If a person thinks and believes that he's getting closer to Allah by performing acts of worship that the Prophet ﷺ didn't tell us about, it's not from the Prophet ﷺ's sunnah, and he thinks this is a good thing, like the Mubtadi'ah, what they say? They say there is a good bid'ah. There is no such thing as a good bid'ah in Islam. Rather, this is an innovation, and it is rejected. There's no good in it. It's all despicable. All innovations are bad. And whoever acts upon innovations, their actions will be rejected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not accepted. فأمور الدين يقول إنما يسأل فيها الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم في حياته يسأل وبعد مماته ترد الأمور إلى سنته فيسأل العلماء عنها الذين هم ورثة الأنبياء. The Sheikh said, so in matters of the religion, the one who's supposed to be asked is the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The ulama, they bring details that says in his life, when he was alive, he's the one to be asked. After his death sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you refer back to his sunnah. And how you know his sunnah? Through the ulama, who are the warathat al-anbiya, who are the inheritors of the Prophets, alayhim as-salatu wasalam. Not like some ignorance, they go for Umrah, and then, alhamdulillah, Allah made it easy for them to go to Medina to visit the Masjid of the Prophet, وسلم, and then they go to the grave of the Prophet and ask. No, you just act upon his sunnah. You don't go there and ask the Prophet. You act upon his sunnah. After his death, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, those who are to be asked, his inheritors, those who have inherited the knowledge of Islam, the ulama, the scholars, the true scholars. You gotta know who are the scholars, because now, especially throughout the time, and especially in our days, there are certain people who they try to put themselves as scholars. Now, in the internet, there is some individuals like those of Al Maghrib Institute, Yasser Qadi and Walid Basyuni and all those with them. They're working hard. They've been working for 10 years. So, and working hard to separate the Muslims from the ulama. Now they've been doing it in, you know, behind curtains. Now they came out. Dear leader Yasser Qadi, he came out straight and he's saying, do not outsource your fatwa. And he explained that. He didn't even keep it like this to people say, what he means, what he don't mean. No, he explained it. He says, meaning, do not ask those ulama in Pakistan, those ulama in Saudi, those ulama in Yemen and Egypt. They don't know what you're going through. Ask the ulama in your area. And he said that in Detroit, he says, there is a lot of ulama in Detroit. Ask them. And we say to you, Yasser Qadi, name one of them who really is a alim. Name one of them. I may be moving there next week, inshallah ta'ala, to sit with this alim and learn. But la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. That's them. Anyone who, subhanallah, is not upon the path of the Sahaba, you will see lot of ajab from them. You will see amazing things. Things they be saying, and the things they be talking about. And look at their crew. They're all entertainers. Sit there and crack jokes and bring stories and this. They entertain the people. Someone would come and teach aqidah and tawheed and serious because he wants the people that, look, these matters are serious. They're like these guys. They're rough. People want somebody who entertain them. There's no entertaining in this deen of Allah. Na'am, the ulama, sometimes they bring some humor, like Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, but not all the time. Shouldn't be the case. Whenever you come and give a talk, you gotta entertain the people. Nah, you gotta educate the people, nurture them, give them principles, tell them so that they can know that this deen is serious. It's not an entertainment, man. This is serious. Should cry. Yeah, you should cry. This is not about to laugh. Ainam. Beware of those people of Al Maghrib Institute and all of those who support them, and like the Nu'man Khan and the, what's his name? Webb. Something Webb. I forget his name. Suhaib Webb and all of those who, subhanAllah, they want to disconnect the people from the ulama. It's like they're saying to the people, don't go to the doctors. Just go to the nurse. They don't need no doctors for anything. Don't go to the doctors. There's a nurse, go to the nurse. That's it. You don't have to wait and for the doctor to come and give a prescription. The nurse can take care of it. Anyone in his right mind will do that. Anyone in his right mind, if somebody comes to you, look, akhi, don't take your mother. The mother, she's sick. She got, I don't know why. She need a surgery. It's like, no doctor. Just go to the nurse. The nurse know what she's doing. Would you listen? Of course you don't. What about these people? They want to separate the people from the ulama so that it become easy for them to tell them whatever. But the scholars, alhamdulillah, the scholars, they speak the truth. And they are merciful. Allah raised them levels. As for the students of knowledge in the du'at, they have to connect the people, actually. Through their work, they have to connect the people with the ulama and read the books of the ulama and teach them which they can. But matters that is not for them, they should not talk about. So I don't know, akhi. I'm just reading from the ulama. That's my That's what I'm trying. I'm your brother. I'm learning with you. But these matters, inshallah, we're going to ask one of the ulama about it. But they don't do that. Because they want the people to be with them, walayyadu billah. May Allah guide them, ameen. And may Allah suffice us all evil. قال الشيخ إذا أمور الدين يسأل عنها العلماء. The matters of the religion you ask the people of knowledge because they are the inheritors of the prophets. ولا تقدم على شيء تتقرب به إلى الله وأنت لا تدري هل هو من الدين أو لا. He says never act upon anything. Never try to do anything. And you believe that it's going to get you closer to Allah and you don't know. Is it from the religion or no, or not? As long as you don't know, you're not sure that this is from the religion or not, stop. That's a red light right there in front of you. You should see that red light and that big stop sign. There's a big line in front of you. You cannot do anything because you don't even know if this is from the deen of Allah or not. Why acting upon it? Because this is the Muslim should worship Allah upon certainty, not upon, okay, well, let me try. Well, don't try. Because this deen is perfect, is complete. ثم قال قوله وَزْهَدْ فِيمَا فِي أَيْدِ النَّاسِ يُحِبَّكَ النَّاسِ يُحِبُّكَ النَّاسِ. He says, as for the statement of the Prophet ﷺ, and leave what's in the hands of the people, meaning their money, their wealth, their possession, what they possess, they will love you. What does it mean? قال لا تتطلع إلى ما في أيدي الناس لأنك إذا تطلعت إلى ما في أيديهم وسألتهم أبغضوك لأنهم لا يحبون ولا يريدون بدل ما بأيديهم فلا تحرجهم فإذا كنت تريد محبتهم فلا تسألهم استعن بالله عز وجل مهما أمكنك ذلك. Sheikh said, this means that do not be that person who constantly look at what's in the people and wants a piece of it, like we say in our terms. He wants some of it. He sees somebody has something going on, he wants some of it, and he wants to get close to him and get some of it. He says, because if you do this and keep asking the people their properties, they will hate you. He says, because the people, it's difficult for them to give what they work hard for. It's difficult. Many people don't want to give what they have. He says, so don't embarrass yourself and also put them in a spot by asking them. If you really want them to love you, do not ask the people to give you that which they have. He said, seek help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Turn to Allah, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and be patient as much as you can. قال أما إذا احتجت إلى السؤال فإنه يباح عند الحاجة أو عند الضرورة. Says keep in mind with this, نعم, in a time of necessity, of ضرورة, extreme necessity, yes, it's permissible to ask. It's permissible to ask for help in a times of necessity. You're in extreme need. You're in dire need. Yes, now you can ask the people. قال ولكن مهما أمكن أن تستغني عن الناس فإنك عندما تثقل عليهم سيبغضوك. He says, but keep in mind, the more you stay away from asking the people, the better for you. Do your best not to ask the people, can you help me with this? Can you give me this? Can I get some of this? Can you take me there? Can I borrow this? Can I use this? Can I have this? Some people, they become like skillful in these things. They have skills. They will come to a person, man, nice thobe, mashallah. Allahu Akbar, but you have like three or four of them. I've been watching you every Friday, right? All of this so that the brother said, you know what? Yeah, you're right. Here's, this is yours, brother. Shaykh al-Uthaymeen, he said, this is haram. Can't do this, Shaykh al-Uthaymeen. And he gave an example.
He said, somebody see a nice pen, somebody have a nice pen, and he go to him, he wants it. But now how he going to get it from him? This pen is amazing. I never seen a pen like this. And I may die and never get one. So that the brother feel bad for him and say, you know what, Akhi? You're my brother. Here, take it. Sheikh Muhammad Amin said, this is not permissible to do these things. It's not. If a person wants to give it to you, he will give it to you. Aynam. Subhanallah, Ikhwan. Some people are going to see somebody, mashallah, just because somebody drive a nice car, they don't even know if that car is a rental. They don't even know if that car is a source of a problem for that man. Because some people drive a nice car, but he had a problem. He want to get rid of it now. They just think just because a person is not driving a nice car, he is rich. They think he's rich. No, it's not the case. Humble yourself. And they want to be close to that person. When they see, here someone in the community has a business, now they want to be his friend. No. Friendship is not based on money and material things. For Allah. You love people for the sake of Allah. You love the believers for Allah, not for dunya. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So sometimes, like from those things that certain people do, when he hears somebody like driving a nice car, came out, and then like right after the salah, he's like, Akhi, mashallah, and he start like complaining to that brother. Complaining, thinking like, just from his appearances, that may have like, I don't know how much money in his pocket. And you know, one of the Salaf, he heard a person complaining like that to another person. I don't have anything, I'm broke, I'm this, I'm that. He said, when he finished, he said, Ta'ala, ta'ala, ya had. قال له, أتشكو من يرحمك إلى من لا يرحمك? أتشكو من يرحمك إلى من لا يرحمك? He says, you're complaining against the one who's merciful to you, to the one who will show you no mercy? See, he says, you're complaining against the most merciful, Allah, because Allah put you in that position. Allah decreed on you to go through that hardship. He said, now you're complaining against the one who's merciful to you, to the one who would not show you no mercy. Now you humble yourself. Follow the means. Take means. But then keep in mind, the Shaykh, he says, but if a person is really in need, then yes, he can ask. He can ask. And the ulama, they says, even with that, you got to go and ask someone who's righteous and pious. Someone who's going to help you and keep it between you and between Allah. You ask someone who has issues, he's going to put your issue all over the place. Yeah, I give it to him. Yeah, yeah. Does somebody come and say, Akhi, you want to help? I just help that brother over there, right there. I can't help people here all day. Oh, you think me, I'm just here to help everybody today? And he's going to put him on the spot. Now you want to find some righteous person who, when he helps you, if he can, he will. Not said to anyone. Aynan. He says, but now if you go to the people and keep asking them, give me this, help me, take me here, can I hold this, what's that, can I buy? He said, they're going to hate you, they don't want to be around you. Because people don't want to give what they have. إِلَّا مَنْ رَحِمَ اللَّهِ. And he mentioned a line of poetry, that this line of poetry, it was said by Abu Sulaiman al-Khattabi in his Kitab al-Uzla. He mentioned them actually, it was mentioned by Abu Sulaiman al-Khattabi in his book al-Uzla, and he mentioned that the one who said them is al-Khuzaymi. These two lines of poetry says, لا تسألن بني آدم حاجة وسل الذي أبوابه لا تحجب الله يغضب إن تركت سؤاله وبني آدم حين يسأل يغضب. سبحان الله. He says, do not ask the children of Adam anything. For anything, ask the one that his doors, there is no guards to prevent you. Nobody guards to tell you why you're asking, meaning the gates.
Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
He says, Allah, get angry if you do not ask Him. But the children of Adam, they get angry when you ask them. Subhanallah. Allah get angry with you, Ya Abdullah, if you don't ask Him from His bounties. But the people, they get angry when you ask them. Allahu Akbar.
قال الشيخ عندما تسأل الناس يبغضوك يبغضونك أما إذا سألت الله جل وعلا فإنه يحبك لأنه غني كريم.
He says, look, subhanAllah, you ask the people, the dunya, you ask the things that they have, they hate you. But you ask Allah, He loves you.
Because Allah is ghani, kareem, subhanAllah. Ghani.
You ask Allah, He loves you. ثم قال الشيخ حفظ الله هذه قاعدة.
He says, so this hadith is a principle in itself. It has a foundation and a principle. إذا كنت تريد العمل الذي يحبك الله فيه ويحبك الناس فازهد في الدنيا يحبك الله وازهد فيما في أيدي الناس يحبك الناس.
So this is a principle that you can use in your life. If you are looking for an act, an action, if you do it, Allah loves you and the people love you as well. Well, here it is. Give up the dunya, meaning in the way that the Shaykh has explained. Don't make the dunya your main goal. You live for it.
No. He says, Allah will love you if you do that. Take from it, for halal, that which is halal, and that which fulfill your needs. The rest of your time, spend ibadah, taking care of your family, spending good time with your parents if they're still around, visiting the sick, come early to the masjid. Some people don't even have time for nobody. Have 3 jobs, 4 jobs, 5 jobs. Keep in mind, sometimes some people, they may have to have 2 or 3 jobs to barely just pay the bills. Now, some people are like that, and may Allah make things easy for them. Some people, they don't have no qualifications. You know now, with $7, $8 an hour, and they give them with the recession, it's called recession, all right? With all these problems that they have in, nobody is hiring or full time or something. They give them like 20 hours or something. So they have to have 2, 3 jobs, and then there is another job that itself just driving from a job to another job. They don't get paid for. Now you find the person in the morning, start at 5 o'clock, he works in this place and 4 hours, and then he has to drive for just barely go home, change, go to another, drive another half an hour to another job for 2-3 hours. Subhanallah. May Allah make things easy for those people. But those who have enough, they're supposed to be, they should say, enough is enough, alhamdulillah, but the rest of my time, I'm going to spend it in the masjid, with my children, with my family, with my parents, reading more books, reviewing my Quran, aiding and helping the people, visiting the sick. You see? Ayna'am. So this is a qaida, azima. And likewise, do not ask the people what they have. It's okay. Ask Allah. If you see someone driving a nice car, someone living a nice home, someone, mashallah, has a good job, someone maybe has more money, mashallah, alhamdulillah. But sometimes people have that, have a good jobs, have more money, lives in better homes, but they're missing the most important thing, hidayah, guidance. But you have guidance, ya akhi, you're upon salafiyah, you're upon the sunnah, you have time to come to the masjid, you preserve, you pray your salawat, alhamdulillah, your children are upon the sunnah, they memorize the Quran, they love Allah, they love the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Be happy with that. Be happy and don't be longing for more this dunya. Ayna'am. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep us firm upon His path. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from those that He loves. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us ghina, والعفاف والتقى. And we come to the end of this explanation of the Shaykh. وصلى الله وسلم على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. The explanation was short. Alhamdulillah, the time we still have until the Iqama and the Adhan, the Iqama. I want to read to you the answer to two questions was asked last week. One question was, what is the rulings of putting a sutra in front of someone who's praying to no sutra? Right, Hussein? Naam. The other question was, since the Prophet ﷺ says, whoever says La ilaha illallah enters the Jannah, is just saying La ilaha illallah enough to enter the Jannah? Anyone who says La ilaha illallah? Naam. We'll start with the sutra thing, okay? Inshallah ta'ala. Well, let's start with the other one. La ilaha illallah. Alhamdulillah. Tayyib. No doubt. This is a summary of, I read a lot of information, not a lot, but a little bit, but there's a lot. I read some information from the work of our noble scholars from the past and from the present. Alhamdulillah. And the summary of that, and may Allah aid me to say that which is right, of course, and if you find any mistakes of my part, of course, don't be amazed, I'm only a human, and you should know my level, by the way. So if I made a mistake, alhamdulillah, I'm worthy of making mistakes. And but we correct each other and we help each other. Barakallahu fikum. So the ulama, they mentioned that La ilaha illallah by itself is not enough without actions. The statements of Al-Hasan al-Basri, rahimahullah, قال لا يكفي. It's not enough for a person to say La ilaha illallah and that person does not act upon Islam. And they mentioned this because he says the person should not just use this hadith, but they should understand this hadith with all of the other ahadith that talks about La ilaha illallah. Like the ahadith, when the other one, the Prophet says, "Man qala la ilaha illallah khalisan min qalbi." Man qala la ilaha illallah khalisan min qalbi yabtaghi wajha Allah bidhalika wajha Allah. For instance, the hadith, the Prophet said, "Whoever says la ilaha illallah, none has the right to be worshipped except Allah, sincerely seeking the face of Allah with that." And there is other narrations. Whoever said it and disbelieve in a taghut, believe in the Jannah and the hellfire, believe in Isa alayhi salam, many other narrations. So this says that La ilaha illallah is a great statement. Is the great statement. But have to act upon its muqtadayat. And this beautiful statement of La ilaha illallah has two pillars. Lahu ruknan. Two pillars. What are the two pillars of La ilaha illallah? The two pillars of La ilaha illallah. Two pillars. La ilaha illallah has two pillars. Ruknan. Ay laha ruknan. Ahsant. An-nafyu wal-ithbat. Negation. An affirmation. La ilaha, that's nafi. No one deserves to be worshipped. But he affirmed that only for Allah. Illa Allah, except Allah. And nafi ul ithbat. And he has how many conditions? How many conditions? Shurut la ilaha illallah? Thamani. Thamani ahsant huwa kadalif. Eight. And the mushayikh, they mentioned, look, they mentioned that the munafiqun, the hypocrites, did they say La ilaha illallah or not? They said La ilaha illallah with their tongue. Did they benefit from it? No. Allah says they are fi dark al asfar min nar. They are in the lowest level of the hellfire. Why is that? Who can explain? It has something to do with the conditions of La ilaha illallah. Why? لماذا المنافقون لم تنفعهم لا إله إلا الله? Why لا إله إلا الله does not benefit the hypocrites even though they say it? نعم. Go ahead. You want to say something? Because I see your finger like this.
Because they're not Muslim.
Well, they are not Muslim. نعم. But they say لا إله إلا الله. Why it doesn't benefit them?
Because اليقين.
أحسن محمود وكذا الصدق. Because they didn't fulfill one of its conditions. What is it? الصدق, truthfulness. لم يكونوا صادقين. They weren't truthful. But they say it. Doesn't benefit them. Another example that the ulama they mention is certain people they say لا إله إلا الله. But they do not act upon one condition, and such as the Sufis who they go to the graves, those Muslims who go to a grave, they say la ilaha illallah and pray, but they still go to some grave and say, ya fulan, help me, assist me, cure my mother, give me a boy. What condition they didn't fulfill, these guys? A whole lot of conditions. But one of the main ones is al-qabool. They didn't accept the meaning of la ilaha illallah. They didn't act upon it. And of course, ignorance too. They didn't know the meaning. The Shaykh al-Albani, rahmat ta'ala, he says, it's amazing many people who say la ilaha illallah, he says, in our times, they don't know their meaning. Its meaning, he says, unfortunately. He says, it's a sad reality, many Muslims, those who say they're Muslims. He says, Abu Lahab and those main heads of the mushrikeen who died on shirk, they know the meaning of la ilaha illallah better than them. Why? Because the Abu Jahl, why they refuse to say la ilaha illallah? Somebody know? Why they refuse to say la ilaha illallah?
They understood that if they say it, they have to, you know.
Ahsant. Because they know what he means, that there is no God besides Allah. No one deserves to be worshipped besides Allah. If they say it, it means that they have to, as Brother Omar says, they have to forsake and leave all their gods. They don't want that. Because remember, the polytheists, they believe in Allah. They don't say that their idols create the heavens and the earth. No, they say Allah is the one who created. But they associate with him this idol. They don't want to do that. They don't want to forsake their idols. That's why they refuse to say La ilaha illallah, because they know what it means. Because La ilaha illallah means nafi and ithbat. You have to deny all false deities. You worship none but Allah. Now these people, what they do? They say La ilaha illallah and pray and fast. And what they do? But they call upon other than Allah. You see? So this is what about that question. Now the other question, inshaAllah ta'ala, is about a brother asks, وَضْعُ سُتْرَ أَمَامَ مَنْ يُصَلِّي لِغَيْرِ سُتْرَ. What is the ruling of certain people in a masajid? They see a person praying and there is no sutra in front of him. That person is not praying to a sutra. What they do, they put something in front of him, usually a chair and the like. What is the ruling on this? If you remember, last time I told you Sheikh Muqbil said something, right? Subhanallah, and that's true, I found it, alhamdulillah. It was not easy for me to find this, subhanallah. I was looking on the internet and here and there. I found pretty much, I learned a lot. There's a lot of details about the sutra that some of them didn't even know before, some I forget. Just looking for this, and I couldn't find until right 10 minutes before I came here on Allahu Akbar. I find it. From Sahab. Sahab is a website, Salafi website, alhamdulillah. And I have three answers. One by Sheikh bin Baz, and the one I told you by Sheikh Muqbil, and another one by Sheikh al-Uthaymeen. But in general, first of all, the sutra itself. It is from the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, and he used to pray to a sutra. But also there is other narrations that the Prophet ﷺ did not pray to, like Ibn Abbas, he saw the Prophet ﷺ not praying to a sutra. There is nothing in front of him. But also the Prophet ﷺ, they used to put a spear or an arrow or something in front of him if he's in the field, open fields. So how we understand this? The ulama, they come up that there is two opinions. There are those who say that the sutra is wajiba, is obligatory, you have to pray to a sutra. From them is Ibn Khuzaymah, or Shawkani, or Albani, and Shaykh Muqbil. They are the one that I know so far. But the majority of the scholars, Jamhur ulama, that it is a sunnah, it's not obligatory. It's not obligatory. However, the Muslim should pray to the sutra. Even those who say it's not obligatory, he says the sutra has so many benefits. Because it helps you in your khushu'. Because the people, they see the sutra, they leave you alone and they go. They don't try to come in front of you. From the many benefits of the praying to the sutra, and it's a sunnah, the Prophet ﷺ did it. That's one thing, okay? Now here is the answer to the question. Is it okay for a person to put something in front of someone who is praying without a sutra? And also they mentioned, I forget to tell you, the ulama, they mentioned that actually in the time of the Prophet ﷺ, the Sahaba, they used to get close to the wall, or if there is a pillar or something. They didn't bring with them sutras and put it in front of them. Okay? And some of the ulama of the past, they talk about this matter, and also Shaykh Ubaid talked about it, as he said, in some masajid, they make some wood, like a mihrab shape, or other like it, and they have them all over the masjid, and people take them to pray sutra. He says, no, there is no dalil for that. There's no dalil for that. However, the person pray to get close to a wall, if there is a pillar or something, if there is some chairs already for those people who are sitting with them, that's what you pray. You pray behind the person who's already sitting or something, alhamdulillah. Now, so if there is walls, alhamdulillah, especially in our masjid, the walls are long. So get close to the wall and pray. You find the person right in the middle, now he's going to bring his napkin and put it down. Somebody put his iPhone in front of him and face up and all the messengers and stuff. Get close to the wall, inshallah ta'ala. Tayyib. Shaykh Ibn Baz, rahimahu ta'ala, answering this question. It's time for the adhan? Huh? Tayyib, we give you the answer after the adhan, inshallah ta'ala.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa Allah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa Allah. أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
So the answer of our noble Shaykh Al-Walid, Al-Allama Abdul Aziz bin Baz, rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, الذي ينبغي أن المرأة يضع سترة لنفسه ويصلي لسترة، لكن لو وضع غيره قد يكون خيرا إن شاء الله. لو وضع كرسي أمامه قد يكون في هذا خير إن شاء الله، فيه مصلحة. قال تعالى: وتعاونوا على البر والتقوى. وهذا من الشريط السابع من شرح كتاب الموطأ. I just read to you the statements of the Sheikh, which I wrote them down from the website Sahab. The Sheikh, he says, what actually should be done is that the person who is praying, he's the one who should take care of his sutra. The one who's praying, take care of his sutra. However, he says, if another person put a sutra in front of another person, like a, he says, like a chair or so, say, inshallah ta'ala, this is good. There is good in it. There is benefit in it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and help one another and aid one another upon good and upon taqwa. This was taken from his explanation of Kitab al-Muwatta of Imam Malik, rahimahullah, the cassette tape number 7. Remember, you remember those? They used to have cassettes. As for Sheikh Muqbil, rahimahullah, Sheikh Muqbil bin Hadi al-Wadi'i, قال إذا رأيت أخا يصلي بدون سترة ووضعت له سترة فهذا أمر لا بأس به وهو من باب التعاون على الخير والتعليم وهذا من أسئلة إخوة من أمريكا. أي نعم، كان إجابة على أسئلة من إخوة من أمريكا، وهذا قديم. أي نعم، شيخ مقبل رحمه تعالى، his answer was, if you see a brother praying without a sutra and you put a sutra in front of him, this is something, it's okay, inshallah. There's no harm with this. Rather, it is from helping one another upon good and from teaching. And this was one of the answers that he has to the questions of people from America, actually. Questions from people from America. Sheikh Al-Uthaymeen now, keep in mind, Sheikh Al-Uthaymeen, his question, because he's going to say no. But why? So I want you to remember the condition. Why? Because Sheikh Al-Uthaymeen now, the question was, if a person see another person praying to no sutra and he went and sit in front of him, you see? See, that's the difference. Is it okay? The Sheikh, he says, he don't know any author or any text to support this. He says, so it's a bid'ah. Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen, he said, unless if we have a text that proved that. For a person to go and sit in front of somebody. As in the answers of Sheikh Ibn Baz and Sheikh Muqbil rahimahumullah and rahimahumullah kulluhum, says to put something, as Sheikh Ibn Baz, he even mentioned a chair. Lastly, something I want to benefit or share with you is a statement of Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah as related to someone who is also, there was a question that was asked also, but after Salat, brother approached me, is sometimes what happened to those people who they come late, and after the imam make taslim, they have to make up some raka'at. And then they find themselves with no sutra because the person in front of them, because the imam used to be their sutra in the salat. Once the imam say taslim, the imam is no longer the sutra of the people behind him. Meaning, the Sheikh Mu'tamin says, if a person, after the taslim of the imam, that person has to come up and make up any raka'ah or raka'at, he become like he's praying by himself, munfarid. So he has to take care of his sutra himself. Sheikh Al-Uthaymeen, he says that the ulama, they mentioned Imam Malik, that statement of Imam Malik, rahimahullah, that person now who's praying in there, nothing in front of him, he says, if there is a wall to his right close to him, he walk to it. Or to his left, he walked to it. Close to him. This is the condition, close. Or there is a pillar or something in front of him, he walked towards it. He says, even if there is a pillar or pole behind him, he walked backward while still facing the Qibla until he make that pole his sutra. He says, but if any sutra is far away from him, he don't walk that far. he stays where he at. He stays where he at. For example, a person way in the middle over there, he's not going to go walk the whole way over here. He stays where he at. He stays where he at, he says. And he tried to push the people as much as he can. Those who are trying to pass in front of him, he will try to, you know, stop them from passing right in front of him. Inshallah ta'ala, wa sallallahu wa sallam ala Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallama tasliman kathira.